Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Thank you so much for joining us here at Second Baptist Church this morning. If you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you so much for being here. We'd love to connect with you. Know who's worshiping with us today. There's a guest or a connect card in the pew in the back of the pew there in front of you. If you'd fill that information out, and at the end of service, you can either leave that in the pew next to you, you can leave it in an offering plate, and just an opportunity to know who's worshiping with us today. And so grateful that you've chosen to be with us today. And so sure thank God for you. Let me make you aware of a few things that are happening in the life and ministry of our church. First of all, we are today begins our emphasis on Dixie Jackson and the week of prayer. And Dixie Jackson goes to support missions within the state of Arkansas and the activities of the ministries of the state of Arkansas. And so it's an incredible opportunity to invest in missions and reaching people from our very own state. And so there should be an envelope, hopefully there in front of you or around the church, or you can just use a regular envelope if there's not one, and just write Dixie Jackson offering on it. And I just want to encourage you in this way. If the Lord leads you to give to that, and I want to challenge you, especially our church folks, if you would take a Dixie Jackson envelope or just make a special emphasis over the next week to pray about, God, what is it you would have me to give? And all that you give will go directly to the state convention and toward the Dixie Jackson offering. And so, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness to give and be praying. On our social media, we'll be posting the prayer emphasis through this week. I think there are some prayer guides around the church. So just want to mention that to you. Also, I want to mention that on October the 5th, maybe you've always wanted to go on a mission trip, and a lot of mission trips are week-long or commitments or several days, and sometimes they're far away and all those sorts of things, and money can prohibit and travel and time, all that kind of thing. But on October 5th, we have an opportunity for a one-day mission trip to Central Arkansas, and be a lot of opportunity with that. There's opportunity to go and help assist with a block party and different ministry needs. And so Brother Steve Overton is helping me and facilitate that. But out on the desk, excuse my pointing, out on the desk there in the foyer, there's a sign-up sheet there. And so if you would, if you're interested, sign up to commit to go with us on October the 5th. It's one day. Probably we'll leave early that morning, but then be back before it's too terribly late. And so we'll love for a good group from our church to be able to go and be a part of that. Wednesday night activities resume. All of those things taking place, and so excited to what the Lord did through revival. And so what we want to do is each night of the revival, we had an intentional, focused time of prayer where we had several of our folks come and get on the altar and spend a few minutes in prayer. And so in just a minute, I'm excited, we're going to see baptisms. But before we go any further, I want us to have just a focused time of prayer, because although we had revival meeting, we had a series of meetings, and God really blessed and met with us. In the same way, Brother Sam could not bring the activity of God and the special blessing of God. He also doesn't take it with him. And so I just believe that God wants to do more in and through our church. And so we want to take a few moments and ask the hand of God to be upon our services this morning. So if you would, I'm going to ask, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to ask Brother Robert if he would just play softly. And I'm going to invite you. I know it's different, I'm way up here, but I'm going to invite you, if you want to come and kneel at the altar and ask God to just spend a moment in prayer, I want to invite you to come now. And let's take a few minutes and ask the Lord to work and to move in our church. Thank you. God in heaven, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for so great a salvation. God, I pray that all that is said and done here today would point others to you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for your hand of blessing. We thank you for your mercy. And so, God, I pray that even here this morning, Lord, you would minister to those that are struggling, those that are here, that are in need, that God, maybe just going through a whole lot, I pray you minister to them. God, I pray those for those facing health problems and sickness, God, I pray your hand would be upon them. God, heal them, we pray. Lord, we lift up these that we're getting ready to see their testimony through baptism. God, I pray that you would use them even this morning to draw anybody who's lost without you to salvation. And God, I pray that as we sing this morning, we would sing for your glory and your name's sake. And Lord, we pray that as the preaching of the word goes forth, you would draw people unto yourself. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for salvation. And Lord, we pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. Well, again, I'm excited to begin here. Opportunity to see some folks follow the Lord in baptism. So I'm going to invite Nayeli to come and join me. A little warm this morning in the baptistry, so this is Nayeli, and she is connected with our church through the emphasis many of you gave to help us connect with students to involvement fair, and so her and Hunter connected through that and began coming to some of our Wednesday night activities and services, and so this past week at one of our services, she came forward during the time of invitation, and she gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus. And so today she's here to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so we're really excited about that and sure thank God for that. And so, Nayeli, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. Man, come on, bud. This is Maddox. I've apologized to him a bunch. This is one of our basketball guys. He came forward last week And I don't know, I've nicknamed him Chase because that's all I could think of when he came. And anyway, I questioned whether God called me to pastor because I'm so terrible with names. And I felt like that was an important requirement. But thank God he uses me anyway at times. And so anyway, Maddox came last Sunday and he just said that he prayed and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. And so as exciting as Coach Kennedy followed the Lord in baptism, and our guys, several of our guys are here this morning, and so appreciate you guys coming and supporting him and anyway, so be praying what God's doing among students through our church, and so grateful for that. Well, Maddox, my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's upon that profession of faith I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism into death. We're raised to walk in newness of life. I'm not sure if there's more freedom in following the Lord in baptism or if it's just they're excited because the water's really hot this morning. So Anyway, no, I thank God for their step of obedience. And again, this morning, even with it as warm as it is, it doesn't wash sins away. Only the Lord Jesus does. And so, I thank God for their life and testimony. And so let's sing to the Lord and worship the Lord this morning. So I'm going to invite our team to come and lead us in worship this morning.
Amen. If you would go ahead and stand me with me. Almost dropped that.
As I travel through pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through sinking sand. It is a Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand, for I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, that I sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, with Jesus hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand, for I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of rest. If a crown of life I won, I have put my faith in you, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand, for I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Of a Savior, the hope of nations. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. As You find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine Your light and let the whole world see. We're seeing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine Your light and seeing for the glory of the risen King. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that You will keep Your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. To do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need You. Oh God, my God, I need You now. How I need You now. Don't rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on Your faithfulness. On Your faithfulness, I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with You all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Don't got my God, I need You. Don't got my God, I need You. rock, O rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Don't God, my God, I need you. Don't God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Don't rock, O rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You moved in power then, God move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. Standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. You freed the captives and you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You touched the lepers and I feel your touch right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me. My words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. So I throw my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. nothing else fit for a king, except for heart singing alleluia, alleluia. I've got one response, I've got just one move, with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but nothing else fit for a king, except for hearts in alleluia, alleluia. So come on, my soul, well, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, and these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, and these bones will sing.
If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. I apologize to you. I normally have all the scripture and things on the screen, and I did not get it up there today. And so if you've got, should be a Bible in the pew in front of you, or maybe you have your own, or if you have your phone or tablet, and maybe you have a
way to follow along there. And so thank you so much for being here and just excited this morning about what the Lord has in store for us. I want to preach to you from the Gospel of John. It's been a little while. We have taken a hiatus away from the Gospel of John, going to settle back in. Let me just tell you this about the Gospel of John. When individuals get saved and I'm trying to help them in their new walk with the Lord and then in their growth and their relationship with the Lord, I point them to John because I think, first of all, it has the most, if you will, red letters, if you will. It is packed full of teachings from directly from Jesus. And now, I don't know how you feel, but my Bible is a red letter Bible, if you will, that's not in the original manuscripts. I personally like it. Helps me to find those teachings and those moments. But the red letters are no more inspired than the rest of the Word of God, okay? It's all inspired. But all I'm saying is that for the Gospel of John specifically, is there's a lot of teaching directly from the life and ministry of Jesus. Secondly, he's the simplest to understand, in my opinion. He's just an everyday guy writing about the life and ministry of Jesus, and he records a lot of specific direct teaching from the Lord Jesus. So, if you're trying to figure out where do I start reading the Bible, how do I start? Where's a good place to start? I would encourage you in this, in the Gospel of John. And I tell folks this, man, if you've never had a daily consistent time walk with the Lord, take 10 verses a day and read and pray, read, and then pray again about things going on in your life. And I know some of you say, well, 10 verses isn't very much. Well, I agree. But reality is when a newborn baby is born, they have to eat more often, but they eat very much smaller amounts, a lot smaller amounts than what we do. They got to grow into eating larger meals. And so I would rather they read 10 verses than not read at all, okay? So what I try to do is when somebody first gives their heart to the Lord, trying to walk with the Lord, if they've never had a consistent quiet time, then let's get a little bit to you every day. And then after you're consistent in that, my hope and prayer is you stretch your legs out a little bit. Maybe you read a chapter or maybe you read a couple chapters a day and just grow into that. If you're struggling with know where to read, how to have a daily reading time and read the Bible, I realize you open up the book and there's a lot there. Where do you begin? And so I just encourage you, if you've never done that, to start in the Gospel of John. And John focuses on making Jesus the centerpiece of the text and then highlighting all these different aspects of how he is the Savior to the entire world. And so this morning, we're going to see that very idea from John chapter 5. And so John chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 24. And I know you just sat down a moment ago, but I'm going to ask if you're willing and able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? We don't have a long section to read this morning, so you'll be able to sit back down soon. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And I pray, God in heaven, now that you would bless the preaching of your word. Draw lost men, women, boys, and girls unto yourself. I pray for those that are believers but have gotten away from you. I pray you would restore them. And God, I pray for saints that you would encourage them. God, hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your spirit. Give me unction from the Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I want to preach to you this message that I've titled, From Death to Life. From Death to Life. And you have notes in the bulletin. If you want to follow along and take notes there. And again, I apologize, this isn't on the screen for you this morning, but the main idea is this, is that Jesus calls dead men back to life. Jesus calls dead men back to life. So the question then this morning is this, is have you experienced life-giving transformation? A life-giving transformation. In some way, there needs to have been a defining moment in your life. A moment in which you surrender your heart and life to Jesus. There's not this idea that just because you're born in America and you're raised in a Christian home and you always have gone to church or you've always been a part of a church or grandma or grandpa or mom or dad have a strong walk with the Lord, that in no way then carries over to you as if you have some salvation by proximity just because I'm close to them, just because I've been close to the church, just because I know things about God. No, there needs to have been a defining moment in your life in which you can look back and say, I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus, because the Bible describes that moment of salvation, that experience of salvation, going from being a dead man to an alive man. And that is a defining moment. Individuals who say, Pastor Chris, I've got a relationship with God, or I'm okay, I'm going to heaven because I've walked with God, I've known God my whole life, and they cannot point to a defining moment where they've surrendered their heart and life to Jesus. I don't care if you know the date and time, but there better have been a very clear moment and experience in which you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. And we're going to see this morning that Jesus makes it very clear that there ought to be this life-altering experience in which you've experienced salvation. And the life-altering moment, as great and awesome as it was to see these two students follow the Lord in baptism, that was not their life-altering moment. Their life-altering moment was a moment that they maybe were sitting in that pew and prayed and asked Jesus to save them, be the boss of their life, and give their heart and life to Him. At that moment was their salvation. Everything from then on is pointing others. It's glorifying God, saying, hey, I'm a believer, I'm following Christ. And so, there are three truths I want us to see from the text this morning. Number one, there is the call to life. There's the call to life. Notice verses 24 and 25. Most assuredly, when you read that, this is the New King James translation, when you read that, what's happening? Jesus, that's the exclamation point. That's the coach trying to get your attention before he tells you something really important. That's the teacher saying, hey, listen up. I've got something to say to you, okay? So he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears. If you have your Bible this morning, mark, underline, hears when we see this, okay? Mark, underline it, highlight it, whatever you want to do. Listen to what he says. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has, look at this, passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear, mark or underline, highlight that, the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear, mark or underline, will live. So what's the idea here? The idea is that apart from Christ, we are born into sin and at an early age, even at the earliest of ages, but even times before we knew the difference between right and wrong, we chose sin. I mean, you didn't have to teach your kids or grandkids how to lie. You didn't have to teach kids how to be stingy and focused on self and only worry about self. Like, nobody had to teach us those things. Why? Because we are born with a sin nature. Nature. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the Bible says that the curse of man, it will pass through the seed of man. And then every man, woman, boy, and girl, with the exception of one, and that's Jesus, has been born with a sin nature. And from that moment forward, everyone born in a sin nature also chose sin. And the moment we choose to do sin, we are spiritually dead, is what the Bible calls us. Then every person right now that is alive without Christ, they are dead spiritually. And so anybody here this morning that's never surrendered their heart and life to Jesus, I love you in Jesus' name, but you are a dead man or dead woman walking. How the Bible describes us. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so then we need something. We need a Savior. We need a resurrection. We need a life-changing moment. And listen to what Jesus says. He said, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So if I'm a dead man spiritually, I need life. How do I get life? Well, it only comes from the Lord Jesus. And so how do we experience salvation? How do we experience that moment? There must be a call. Well, how do you know if there's a call? Listen, look at what he says. He said, most surely I say to you, he who hears. See, here's the reality, folks, this morning, that even if you knew today, man, Pastor Chris, I'm lost and I need to be saved. And I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus. Well, dear friend, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't just decide to do that. That's not how it works. It's the Spirit of God that must draw a man, that must draw a woman. The Bible says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And listen, if you've ever been saved, if you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, then you know what I'm talking about, that there was a moment in time when you were convicted. That there was this conviction. It's hard to explain. It's a heaviness. It's an unsettling. It's a feeling deep down in the core of who you are. It's not sickness. It's something more. It's something deep in who you are going, I'm convicted over my sin because I've chosen wrong. I've sinned against God. I've rebelled against Him. This is not His plan or His future. How do we know that? John 16:8 says, when He has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Man, if you've ever been saved, there was a moment in time in which you were miserable to a degree because you were convicted over the things that you've done wrong. That's the beginning of the hearing, the call of God. Hearing the Holy Spirit drawing you to Himself. It's not an audible voice. It's something far greater. It happens spiritually. It happens within our soul. That the Spirit of God draws a man or draws a woman unto Himself. And so He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life. So how does this happen then? You sit under the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God, or somebody shares the Word of God with you, because it's the Word of God that brings conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God that illuminates me to go, man, I have sinned against God. And then there's this drawing, and because there's this drawing of the Holy Spirit, then I must respond. Well, what is the response? It's believing in Jesus. The response is not getting in a baptistry. The response isn't walking down an aisle and joining a church. The response is believing in Jesus for salvation. Romans 10:9-10, you heard that a lot this week. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it may be this morning that some of you, listen, I fought conviction. I fought, man, God drawing me, hearing that. I was hearing the Spirit of God convict me and draw me to Himself. And I fought it for months. Every time I set the invitation, boy, I'd head down and I'd just hold on for dear life. Every time somebody talked to me about it, man, I'd just hold on for dear life as if I just had to hang on to every ounce of what I knew. Friend, I'm here to tell you. Some of you might have been experiencing that. Maybe even this week, there are individuals that, man, they know they need to be saved, and man, they're just holding on to the pew, just praying and hoping the invitation will be over soon. Just hoping that He'll stop soon. You go, man, what is that? It is the Spirit of God who loves you so much. He doesn't want you to stay dead spiritually, but wants to draw you to Himself and encourage you to believe on Christ for salvation. I need you to know this morning there is a call to life, and it's everlasting life. It's the old saints used to call it the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that we need to run from. It's not something you need to be afraid of. Why? Because it's done out of love. The Holy Spirit of God draws you. Why? Because the Son of God has come to die for your sins. And so there's this call. Most surely I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life. Listen to the promise. Shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. The reason why, and we talked about this last week with Coach Kenny following Lord in baptism, the reason why this mode of baptism is so important is because it's an outward picture of what happened spiritually. See, if anybody got saved this week, maybe they were in the pew and they prayed and asked Jesus to save me. They believed on Him. They heard the call. They believed on Jesus. They repented of their sins and said, I'm going to follow You, God. They admit they're a sinner. They believe in the Lord Jesus and they confess Him as Lord, that You are Lord, You're boss of my life, okay? The ABCs of salvation. Well, as soon as that happens, what happens spiritually? You were dead. It's the Spirit of God who drew you. You believed on Him, and you moved from being dead to now alive. You go, well, I thought I was breathing, preacher. I thought I was alive spiritually. That's why the mode of baptism is so important, because when there's immersion, we are buried with Him through baptism and death. We're going to read this later. And we are raised to walk in newness of life. That's what happens to an individual at the moment of salvation. So there's a call to life. Number two, there is the gift of life. There's a gift of life. Notice verse 26 and 27. For as the Father has life in Himself, as He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because, I want you to mark or underline this phrase, He is the Son of Man. John loves titles. He particularly loves titles for Jesus. So why in the world, out of all the titles that we could have for the Lord Jesus, why does He use here, why does He emphasize, and Jesus teaches here, that He is the Son of Man? Why that title? Glad you asked. Thanks. Because Jesus, being born of a virgin, comes as He is the Son of God, full in deity. We've dealt with that in the first part of the book of John. He is fully God, yet when He comes as a virgin, He is born as a man. He is fully God, yet fully man. So what's the picture here? The picture is this, is that God says, I have life, right? Genesis 1 and 2, we see that He speaks life into existence, that He is the author of life. He entrusts life to His Son Jesus because of His sacrifice. And now He's talking about spiritual life, not just physical life. And then because He has entrusted life to the Lord Jesus, now Jesus is also in charge of judgment. So here's the picture. An individual is called to himself by the Holy Spirit. Individual responds, believes on Jesus, repents, and is saved. Experience a life-changing moment of salvation. Then you're saved to everlasting life. You not only have life now, but you have the promise of eternal life in heaven. Now let's take the opposite of that. An individual this morning hears this message, experiences conviction. The drawing of the Spirit of God pushes back, says, I'm not interested. I've been a Christian my whole life. My daddy's this, my mama's this, or what will others think of me? Whatever reason, you push back from it. And you take and you draw your last breath. Then your hope and your experience is this. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There will come a day of judgment where you stand to give an answer for all that you have ever done. Specifically, give an answer for when you experienced this day and the Spirit of God drew you and you pushed back and said, no, I'm not interested. So why is Jesus called the Son of Man? Because He will be the one in which you're standing in front of, and Him being fully God, yet fully man, who gave everything, He gave Himself so that you could experience salvation. And so for every lost man, every lost woman, every person who pushes back from the call of God will one day not only stand in judgment, but you'll stand in judgment in front of the Son of God, the Son of Man, who gave Himself for you. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. What love is that? The love that motivated Him to give His Son just for you. Even, listen to this, even when we were dead in trespasses, God gave His Son Jesus when you were lost on your worst day, made us alive together with Christ. That's the transformation. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's a gift of life. He says that He is the Son of Man. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in Himself, so He granted the Son to have life in Himself and has given Him authority to execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man. So here's the picture, is that this morning it may be that the Spirit of God is drawing you. And you're going to have to choose whether you're going to believe on Christ, repent of your sins, and confess Jesus as Lord. Or push back, resist. If you choose Christ, what happens, there's a transformation and there's a transfer. The moment you choose Christ, He takes all your past, present, and future sins away. All the things that cause death, life, destruction, and separation from God, He takes that from you and He gives you life. Those of you who have been saved, that's a pretty good place to say amen. That's a pretty good exchange. He takes all of our filthiness, all of our shame, all of the guiltiness of us, and He exchanges us and gives us eternal life. That's the salvation that we have in Christ. That's why 2 Corinthians says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus takes all our past, present, and future sin. God takes it and lays it over on His Son Jesus. And He takes all His righteousness and lays it over on us. There's a gift of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus," He's talking about spiritual baptism there, "were baptized into His death." This is verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." So there's a call to life. Then there's a gift of life. And then number 3, there is the resurrection of life. Notice verse 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Dear friend, for every person in this room, unless the Lord Jesus returns, every one of us will draw our last breath. Every one of us will die. Every one of us will experience that. And everyone in this room will experience a resurrection of sorts. Listen to what He says again. "Do not marvel, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice." Every person. "And come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And so what's the significance there? That those who hear His voice today or at some point in your life and surrender your heart and life to Jesus, there's a transfer that takes place. He takes you from death and gives you life. And then one day you draw your last breath, and spiritually speaking, instantaneously for a believer, we are then, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present to the Lord. Our soul goes to be with the Lord. Then the Bible describes at the return of Christ, they'll call forth and those who are dead in Christ will rise first. But you need to understand what happens spiritually, that those who have surrendered their heart and life to Jesus will be resurrected to a resurrection of life, is what the Bible says here. And those who are without Christ, there is coming a day of judgment in which everyone will face that are without Christ, and it will be a day of condemnation. And a day in which no one escapes. (Clears throat) So, dear friend, the Bible says in John 11:43, "Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice," talking about this is a earthly picture of what happened spiritually with the story of Lazarus. He says, "Lazarus, come forth." Remember, Lazarus has been dead, and his sister, everybody's mourning. They buried him. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus shows up, and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And when he who had died, talking about Lazarus, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen these things Jesus did believed in him. Dear friend, he will again one day call the dead back to life. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So have you had that life-altering moment? Dear friend, I'm not interested in any way, shape, or form trying to argue or convince, persuade of sorts, anybody to give their heart and life to Jesus that's unwilling. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to, have you experienced the conviction of God? Is there something even now that's deep down in you going, "Man, you need this"? We fight it. We run from it. This is why, I don't know if you heard, but Brother Sam said multiple times this week that he felt like the time of invitation was the most important thing he did. Why did he say that? Because there's all the reason in the world why the time of invitation. We get to this time and it's common, and we shut our books up and our Bibles up and our bags and start getting all this stuff and all these distractions, all these sorts of things, and we begin to check out. But here's what we need to understand about time of invitation. Time of invitation is the defining moment in which we must decide. Even when we're not talking about salvation as believers, that we're challenged by the Word of God and there's conviction, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to respond? Excuse me. And so, dear friend, it may be that you're sitting there today and you don't know Christ. Man, there's nothing more than what the enemy wants to do is distract you from this moment and say, "Oh, that's not really true, that's not real, you're okay," all these sorts of things. But I would just ask you, if that's from the Holy Spirit, if the Lord really has to convince you that you're okay, or maybe it's the Spirit of God showing you that you're not. And it's simple. Because here's the thing, why would we run from what God wants most from us and what God has given His life, through His Son Jesus, given Himself for? If a God loves us like that, don't you think He's got a better plan for our life than we have for ourselves? And so it may be this morning that you're under the conviction of the Spirit of God. I don't care if you've been a member 100 years or you've never been a member of church. I don't care how many baptistries you've gotten in or if you've never been in one. And listen, I preached my first sermon before I got saved. And I'm just telling you, if you're under the conviction of the Spirit and the Spirit of God is drawing you to Himself, admit that you're a sinner, believe on Him, and confess that Jesus is Lord. In just a minute, I'll help you do that. Because some of you say, "Pastor Chris, I don't have the foggiest idea how to do that. But I want to respond. I want to believe in Him." And then those of you that are believers, I just want to ask you this. First of all, do you remember what that moment was like? The moment that you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus and you went. You couldn't explain it. You didn't have all the words to talk about it, maybe describe it, didn't even fully understand what happened. But there was a moment in which you went from being dead spiritually to alive in Jesus. And what a glorious moment. And I just want to invite you to do this. let's pray like there's no tomorrow, that we may influence others to have that same experience. And whatever that means, does that mean giving? Does that mean going? Does that mean inviting? Does that mean serving? I'm telling you right now, there are plenty of opportunities right here to influence others to come to Christ. You just pray, God, what is it that you'd have me to do to help others to know Him and to know Him more? And so I'm going to ask this, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you not use this as a time to transition, to get ready to leave. And so I'm going to ask, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes and not disturb the neighbor next to you. But if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I know, man, I've heard the voice today. I've heard the Spirit of God today. I've been under conviction. I need to be saved. And I want to give my heart and life to Jesus. Man, won't you do it today? Won't you surrender your heart and life to Him today? Don't let anybody, any other voice talk you out of it. You determine now to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer, but understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. Only the attitude of your heart. And if you'll pray it and mean it with all your heart, the Bible says God will save you. Not some preacher, but the Bible says, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call out Him for salvation, He'll save you. You can pray right there on your own. You don't need me, but maybe you'd like some help. And so here's what you do. If you need help, you just begin to pray. You can pray aloud, or you can pray in the silence of your heart. But you may pray something similar to this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be the boss of my life. I believe you're God. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And I confess now that I need you, and I now confess you as my Lord. Help me to live for you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and I believe it's vitally important that we let folks know. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you deny me among men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And so I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not going to come get you. But if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I just prayed that with you and I meant it with all my heart. I answered the call today to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. And I'm not ashamed. I want you to slip your hand up in the air. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed with you today and asked Jesus to save me. Slip your hand up in the air just right where you sit. Here in just a moment, we're going to have just a time of response. You saw others come earlier and pray here at the altar. You're invited to do that. But friend, I'm convinced the Lord led us to this message today for a reason. And I just want to invite you, if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, maybe you've got some questions. And I don't know if I'm ready to make that decision or not, but I need to talk to somebody because it's the most important decision you'll ever make. I know it's difficult, I know it's hard, but here in just a moment, I'm going to pray. When I get done praying, I'm going to invite you down. Come meet me and say, Pastor Chris, I need to talk about salvation. Maybe you prayed a moment ago and you didn't raise your hand for whatever reason. I'm going to invite you to come. Say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask Jesus to save me today. It's the single most important thing you could ever do. Jesus died for us publicly. Why would we not confess Him publicly? And maybe you're already a believer. You already know Christ. But maybe you're not living or seeking to influence others to come to know Christ in the way that you know the Lord wants you to. I'm going to invite you in a moment, man. Let's get on this altar and ask God to do what He can, what He wants to with us. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe God's leading you to make another decision. Whenever I pray, I'm going to invite you to begin to move. Don't wait on anybody else. Christians, you come. Whenever I pray in a moment, you ought to be the first ones moving. If you prayed a moment ago for salvation, you come. Man, come talk to me. God in heaven, we thank you and love you. God, I pray even now that we would respond to you. We'd be obedient to you. I pray for those who might have prayed and given their heart and life to you. I pray you give them boldness to come. I pray for believers that are struggling, God. Maybe those that are close with you and they're excited, they're fired up. God, help us to respond and be obedient to you. Thank you for how you love and care for us. I pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And your main attitude of prayer, if you want to come and pray, you come pray. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. But if you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you come. So let's all stand. And if you want to come, you come.
Cross as you wait for the crown.
tell the world of the treasure found. Jesus is calling.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask our men if they'll begin to take place so we can receive the offering as we leave today. Again, I thank God for you. Thank you so much for being here. Let me just invite you to do this. If you have questions or made a decision regarding salvation, there's a guest card or a connect card in the pew back in front of you. I invite you to fill that out and encircle the guest card or whatever it is, the title at the top of that card, but leave information so contact you. I'd love to personally reach out to you and just visit with you about that. We think it's the most important decision you'll ever make. And so, again, thank you so much to those who came and support in support of Nile and Maddox, and I'm so grateful for their obedience to the Lord, and be praying for them in the days ahead. Hey, Wednesday night, we've got all of our activities going, 5:30 meals, 6 o'clock for kids and students, 7:15 for a meal for our college students, and then 8 to 9 o'clock is our college worship service, young adults. And so love for you guys to come and be a part of any of those activities. Sure, thank God for you. Okay, don't forget October 5th sign-up sheet out front, so come go on a one-day mission trip with us. And then also be praying about our Dixie Jackson offering, okay? All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being here. Lord, you're good and gracious and kind. We thank you for today. We thank you for how you love and care for us. And I pray, God, that in all things we might exalt you. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. Pray your hand of blessing be upon the offering. And we love you and praise you. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Have a great day.